following program is brought to you by Living Ministries Media.
seeking to produce in us God's perfect design. If the life is unblemished, he is able to continue his efforts. But if we become carnal or backslidden, his work of shaping us is hindered until the area in question has been thoroughly cleansed. I thought that was an interesting analogy from what we have been seeing with that word. Now, this morning, I'd like to begin as you have your Bibles, you can look in there, because I just covered this week, my humanity leads me to mess up words. So, if you have your Bibles, you can look and make sure that whatever I'm spelling is correct. But most importantly, what I want you to do is see for yourself the Word of God. I want you to notice what it says. And it came to pass, Genesis chapter 6 is where we are. And it came to pass that when man began to what? To multiply the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto him. But the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And then the next verse is verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came out to the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of now. The first time I came across these verses of Scripture was when I was trying to win a certain couple to the Lord, and the Jehovah's Witness decided that they would fit better in their church. And so the Bible student requested that both of us be present so that they could then bear notes and see who was telling the truth, but what was closer to the truth. Well, I don't like debates, but anyway, since I had this individual connected with one of those, I was willing to be there. I was a brand new Bible worker, really didn't know about a while, so I was kind of shaking my boots, especially when I discovered that the lady was the wife of the leader of the Jehovah's Witness group. Yes, that was that. So I was kind of nervous, and for some reason, I don't remember what we were discussing, but for some reason, she threw in this idea that the sons of God are angels, and that they actually came down and got married with women, and that's why they were giants in the land. How many of you have heard that before? Any of you? Several of you have heard that. I discovered the Mormons have basically about the same idea. So I said, okay, so these things came down, and I didn't know how to deal with the issue. So I said, these things came down, and the question that came to my mind is, what happened to these angels from this land? Well, she said, they went back to heaven. So I said, well, that's interesting. You mean going to have sinful angels go back to heaven? And she got stumped. And she said, no. Yes. So I was, which one is it? Yes or no? And she gave kind of one of these nervous laughters, you know what I'm saying? And she said, I know what's going on with the denomination. And I said to her, why don't you join my church? Well, she dismissed herself very quickly and praised God. That young couple, they were baptized. And today, that young man is the director of Native Ministries for the Lord American Division. So praise God that we are able to rescue him, what he's saying. So, where the idea comes from that this represents angels, well, they take a verse from the Scriptures, and it's a book of Job, actually, the two verses in the entire Bible that deal with angels being called the sons of God. Number one, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. So here, it makes a reference to the sons of God, and that Satan is, of course, in that group who will appear in that convocation, that gathering, and pronounces himself, declares himself to be the lawful representative of planet Earth. Then in chapter 38, verse 7, it says, when the morning star sang to
and all the sons of God shall worship the Lord. And so, the sons of God, they shall know two verses. But there's a problem with this interpretation that these are angels who came down and got married. Because Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our Creator, makes it very clear what these are. Let's look at the several scriptures. Number one, Mark 12, verse 24. Now, look at it says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither what? Neither the power of God. Notice that Jesus says that, so when they shall rise from the dead, they neither are married nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. Now I've had some parishioners come to me and say, oh, Pastor, I'll be with my husband in heaven. How many of you have had that concern? Not me. But come on, be honest. Let me say this to you, okay? Don't worry about it. First get there. What do you say? Once you get there, then you'll discover the rest of the story. But be more concerned about being there. Will you say more to that? Alright, so the point here is that according to Jesus' own words, angels do not marry. They do not. Who said it? Jesus said it. And if Jesus said it, I believe what he said. Will you say amen to that? Here's another statement concerning that. And Jesus answered and said unto them, the children of this world do what? Now here's a contrast, right? The children of this world marry. But it says, and are given in marriage. But they which shall be counted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead. Neither marry nor are one. Are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto what? Unto angels. And are the children of God and the children of the resurrection. So there you have it. The words of Christ makes it very plain and clear that these are nothing more than human beings. You know, there's no the ends of the movements, those who are living before the flood. Were actually human beings, not angels who came down and got married. Did you write those notes down? Some people look as if it's in between the eyes and head back between the eyes. Did you write them down? Huh? If you didn't, shame on you. If you blame for sure, you'll get the CD, right? Alright. But listen, what is this all about? Why is this recorded? What does this have to do with you and me today? Because I believe, friends, that the Bible is current. It is what? It is current. Everything that's written in here, in fact, the Bible says, these things were written for our wounds, pardon, our learning, and for our admonition. Who are living when? In the days of the end. Okay, so what's written here is for us. And what they want to try to tell us by this sense of man and this dose of, such a modern dose of man. Well, let me share some things with you which I think would be interesting. First of all, in the Bible, we are referred to the sons of God who believe in Christ. Notice it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that he may be blameless and what else? Harmless, and what's the next phrase? The sons of God. Can you see that? And then it says, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom he shineth light in the world. So, God is referring to people who are his, people who command themselves to God as sons of God. How many of you are sons of God? Now, ladies, you can raise your hands too. Because this is a generic statement. Okay. Now, if this is true, in Romans 8, notice what it says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Can you see that? In other words, when it's referring to sons of God, it's referring to all those men and women, adults and children, who love God, who love by the Spirit. God says, for you have not received spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glory together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For you are in this expectation of the creature waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What is the message then that God is trying to give to us in these texts? I should make clear who the sons of God are and the rulers of the enemy. Let me read you this final statement here. The sons of God were none other than the sufferings and the doors of men. Who are they? The godless Canaanites. Do you remember when Adam and Eve had their first child? It was Cain. And they believed that they had received a man from the Lord. But they were greatly disappointed. That particular man slew his brother Abel. But the Lord did not give up. The Lord brought about another child. And if you look at your Bibles in the book of Genesis, I want you to notice the language there. In the last two verses, Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 and 26, I want you to notice there it says, Adam knew his wife again. And she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, have appointed me another seed, a seed of Abel, which will be bringing Abel into. Verse 26, and to Seth, and to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began the men to call upon the name of the Lord. When the angel was born, Eve and Adam felt that there was no hope. But when Seth was born, hope was reborn again in them. You see that? Because they were told that through the seed, the Savior would come. You understand? That's why they thought that when Cain was born, that was the seed, but it wasn't. That's why she says, for God says she has appointed me another seed instead of Abel. It's a prophetic language, is it not? Prophetic language. There was hope. The seed would come. Through the seed, divine. Through the seed. Now let me ask you a question. Did the enemy of God know that the promise would come from the seed? What's the answer? That's the devil of the Bible. What's the answer? As you study it, to learn what it says in it, I'm going to say this to you. The devil makes a lot of Christians, puts a lot of Christians to shame. The devil knows the Bible far better than we do. And they won't want to be, what they say. Now you may say, but the devil has a superhuman brain. Well, you can too, just attach yourself to the Lord. That may be new insight to you, right? But in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, what did I say? 2 Peter chapter 1, and verse 4. Look at it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and what else? And precious promises, that by these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the promise that's in the world for us. So, what's given unto us, exceeding great and what? A precious promise. Brethren, let me say this to you. Memorize the promises of God. Put them to mind. Some of you may say, I'm told to memorize. I have students that come and say they're told to memorize too. The reality is, we can if we decide that we're going to.
my mother always said this in all the times. She was a friendly mother always. And the lady had this sense in her memory was fading. And she didn't want to have a bad memory fade, especially concerning the great ones. You know what she did? At 91, she decided to memorize something from the Bible. You know which book she decided to memorize? Revelation. And you know what she did? At 91, she memorized all the chapters word by word. So that you didn't come to her, you would start in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 7, and she would continue on. She knew exactly where you were. At what age? 91. So the problem with us is that we let our brains get spongy, don't we? How many of you have found that to be true? Now that your computers became figuring out what the full postal is. Any of you have that problem? How many of you remember when we were younger? You know, I'm not talking about the younger kids, I'm talking about people my age. How many of you remember that you had a whole lot of telephone numbers memorized in your mind? How many of you remember that? Okay. Now, how many of you remember any of those phone numbers now? You know what I've had to do? I put all my phone numbers in my little cell phone. And Monday, I lost my cell phone. I couldn't call my wife. So, I think it's wonderful to have the equipment, but I think we need to get back to memorize what they say. And so, without knowing what I did, kids do that. Don't put on your cell phone to memorize your folks' phone. Memorize it yourself, okay? But if you lose that cell phone, you're lost. When you lose, you're lost, okay? So you know what I did? I decided I'm going to memorize my wife's phone number. I don't care where you're in the world. I don't care if I have a cell phone or not. I know her phone number. All right? So, the sons of God, what happened? What actually took place? Was that the sacrifice of the devil in the wilderness that came as the dove in the valley. But as time went on, the scripture says that the sons of God began to look at the brothers of men that they were fair. In other words, the believers began to get together with the unbelievers. They began to amalgamate. And when they began to amalgamate, they began to decrease in spirituality. The result was this, that when the time came for the destruction of the world, there were only 8 believers alive. But if you remember, according to biblical condition, how many believers must be alive in order for there not to be destruction? How many? 10. Do you remember what Abraham said? Lord, if they're 50, if they're 45, if they're 30, if they're 40, etc. And he finally goes down to how many? If they're 10. What did God say? If they're 10, I will not destroy. But how many did he find? He found 4. And out of the 4, how many remained? 3. Do you understand? Which means, yes, my friends, that the reason why the world is still around, the reason why there are evil people still around, is because God still has righteous people on the planet. They may not understand that their survival depends on you, but the reality is, friends, that if there were none of righteous on this earth, the earth would be destroyed. That's why Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. Salt preserves. Salt what? Preserves. It is because God has righteous people on this earth that the earth is still hanging around. But the time will come when God will have to make a separation. But listen, because of the danger that took place in the time before the flood, because of the righteous becoming diluted to the point that there was only 8 real righteous people, God then finally had to destroy the earth. If God had not destroyed the earth, the influence would have continued until there would be none righteous on the earth. But God has purpose not to destroy mankind. God has purpose to save mankind. What do you say? The Bible says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his wicked way. So God's desire is to save, not to destroy. We'll say amen. you're saying that not will there be any people, but will there be any mind? Faith. Is there a difference? Can there be people without faith? What's the answer? Yes. And the warnings given in there, by the way, are not given to the not believers. These warnings are given to the believers. God is saying that we need to be as careful as they need to be during the time of flood to make sure that we don't get either to the point where we don't know the difference between right and wrong. And so, if you notice, Jesus said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, what happened in the days of Noah will be what is prevalent in the day when Jesus comes. Okay. Well, what happened in the days of Noah? Notice it says, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were what? Eating and drinking, married and. Notice, again, Jesus is not speaking about angels getting married, but about who? The people of those days, as it says then, they were married and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And it says, and they knew not until the full came to all his social laws at the point of the Son of Man be. And then he says, watch for you know that hour. The Son of Man coming. Jesus is not speaking to unbelievers. These warnings are not for unbelievers. These warnings are for believers. For you and for me. Now, how do I know that? Because Jesus, number one, is talking primarily to the disciples, right? And he tells you, as he says, watch, don't be deceived, watch, don't be deceived, watch, don't be deceived. Well, he's not telling unbelievers not to be deceived, he's telling believers not to be deceived. And then he said, there'll be many false Christs. You need to be watching. If they tell you, he's here, he's there, etc., don't believe him. See, the warnings are for who? For you and for me. And also, it's interesting that he uses something that in itself is nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with marrying or giving in marriage, what do you say? Any single like young ladies here in the audience? By raising your hands. Ladies, anything wrong with being married? Anything wrong with not to get married? Right? Are you sure? Stacy, what do you think? Nothing wrong with being married. Right? She said, yeah. And she says, marrying is very enthusiastic. Let me ask you a question. A young lady came to me one day and said, Pastor, what's anything wrong with return? And I said, well, they returned the other day. Well, she said, I wish it was older for the men. I mean, she really said that. I said, what do you mean? She said, Pastor, according to what the Bible says, you don't get married, don't give it a marriage, you have it, right? I said, yeah. Well, she said, I want to get married. And if Jesus came before I got married, I wouldn't be able to get married. So, maybe you can move a little bit. I thought I could get married. But look, think about that. Think about that, my friends. That means that that person does not understand the seriousness of the conditions on this earth. That means that that person is not wrong by coming to Christ. That person is wanting more of things to be what they would want it to be on earth rather than of the master to God. Well, think about it, friends. Think about it. Even though there is nothing primarily wrong with marriage, even marriage, for the Book of Numbers says, planting, building, there's nothing wrong with any of that. Eating, drinking, nothing wrong with any of those items. And the reason why Jesus is bringing them out is because there is a effect that's taking place stealthily among believers. We may want to call it creeping compromises. We call it creeping compromises.
Receive you and will be
throne to you, and you shall be my wife. Thy son said, Thus says the Lord Almighty. See? So we're living then in the last days. Jesus says, For as many as receive him, his word tells us, to them be he parts between the life, the sons of God. John 1:12. And then in 1 John 3:2 it says, Behold what manner of one God the Father has done for us, and we shall be called the sons of God. Therefore, all of us pass now because of me and now. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and in that idea of people we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he was. How many of you have seen this statement before? Ezekiel 44, notice what it says. And they shall teach my people the difference between God, the holy ones, the prophetic, and also to discern between the unclean and the holy, and the clean. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge according to my judgment. They shall keep my laws and my statutes and all my assemblies. They shall follow my Sabbaths. When Lot decided to separate himself from Abraham, he did so on the basis of a good business decision. And this is what he thought. The scripture says that he decided to move down and pitch his tent toward Nadia, the man, toward Saul, the man. So, what that tells us is that Lot never intended to be in Saul. He simply just pitched his tent toward Saul. And yet, when the angels show up, where is Lot? He's in Sodom, but what was he doing in there? See, he was just pitching his tent where? Toward Sodom. What Jesus really says that the enemy is able to stealthily come into our lives. And if we're not watching it, we begin to compromise with what is right. And we may be justifying why we're doing it. But the reality is this. Even though we're justifying, we still suffer the consequences. Lot suffered the consequences. He moved to Sodom, and he suffered. And when the angels came to reveal that there was destruction in the fields, the Bible says that Lot was afraid to leave the city. I understand that because people who grow up in the city and depend upon the city have a very difficult time thinking how they would survive outside of the city because all the conveniences are there in the city. Understand? My mother was that way. My brother, who was a gang member who stayed nothing in New York City, went to Prime New York for just one weekend to spend one weekend with us. Outside of New York City, he went mad. He said to us, You guys are crazy! My wife was going to go outside too. It was nighttime. She had an axe in her shoulder. She was going to go out and chop some wood so she could put it in the fireplace. And he said, Where? Carol, where are you going? She said, Go outside. Put some wood. You're crazy. What is there? Somebody outside there. She said, That's okay. I've got an axe. So, then he began to hear his heartbeat. He said, I can hear my heartbeat. It's so quiet here. He said, you guys are crazy. And you know, I said, Have you just come down with me, okay? Calm down. Get me out of here, he said. He was a gang member, president of the largest gang in New York City. He did nothing in New York. But scared to death to hear his heartbeat. He was so afraid. At midnight, you hear what I'm saying? At midnight, he insisted that I get him out of where we're living, take him back to Washington, D.C., while he was living with us and discovered that he was all packed and was planning to escape from the neighborhood. He was trying to escape from home. And unfortunately, he came home when he wasn't expecting and I saw all his suitcases and said, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. I said, come on, what are you doing? He said, why not? He said, I can't handle it. He's still waiting for me. All right, so my brother then insisted on taking me back. And then tells my other brother, you better put me on the bus at 2 o'clock in the morning. He was on the bus right back to New York City. Right? You get so used to it, you know? So used to it. But then the unnatural becomes natural. And that which is natural becomes unnatural. Is it possible today that you may be in an old lot of life and compunction? The Lord said, remember Lot's wife and the reason for that is this. Even though she was leaving with Lot, where was her heart? It was back where? Back in her possessions. Back in the high society. Back in the living that she was living. She loathed to leave. Why? Because unbeknownst to her, the world had crept into her heart. And she had no longer a desire to be what God wanted her to be. Friends, let me ask you a question. Is it possible that in your experience you have backslidden? Is it possible that you are not as careful as you used to be with God's things? Can it be that as you think that's the way you are today and you look at the way you used to be, that something has happened to your experience that you have slid and that the things of the world are becoming more natural to you? Is that possible? Yes. What is the remedy for that? The remedy for that is to get back to God. Get back to church. Get back to studying the Word. Get back to faithfulness. Back to family worship. Back to that which you know God wants you to do in your home. And as individuals, back to willing to be loved as God, back to be willing to be different, not for the sake of difference sake, but for the sake of the faith that you have in Christ for yourself. I believe, friends, that there was ever a time when God's people need to get back to the basics as today, back to primitive godliness. Listen, when it's all said and done, my friends, I think you and I would want to be standing among the faithful when Jesus appears on his own. How many of you would like to be found faithful in the day when Jesus appears? My friends, it means then that wherever you are in spiritual life, if you have found yourself slipping, turn back. Ask God to help you to be willing to be put away from you. Ask God to help you to get back. If you used to be very careful with your eating, and now you've kind of slipped away from that, why not decide to ask God, Lord, I've fallen far away from what I'm doing today. I'm eating all sorts of things. God, help me to be tuned up again as I used to be tuned up. Give me the sensitivity. The sensibility, help me, Lord, to recognize where I am, that I may be where I should be. Lord, to pray that, what do you say? If there's ever a time when we need to be Thank you.